Oh, my nails.
Oh, for God's sake.
You fucking know this about me. This
was always your idea to do this, and then you fuck it up every time.
Hello there.
It's them. Blast them.
Roger, roger.
We're doomed.
What have we done?
This is madness.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I'm also obsessed with this. I know I caught you by surprise because I was not meaning to show you that one, but I fucking love that. You know how much I love Jack and Sally. All
right.
I love them so much. I swear we're a Star Wars podcast.
Yeah, Cassie wanted to show me something on Instagram, and she turns around the phone to me, and she's like, look at how cute this is. And it's a very suggestive fan art drawing of Jack and Sally from... Nightmare Before Christmas.
Which is also gorgeous, and I love
it's lovely, but it was not the cute thing she intended to show
me. Not what I meant to show her. I meant to show her a floating yoga.
Yoda. We're a Star Wars podcast.
We are.
Welcome back. We're back from our break.
Yay! Maggie is back from her vacation.
I am. I had a lovely vacation. Cassie's back from not being here at my apartment.
This is true. I started my job this week.
Yay!
Absolutely, she did.
A big kid now.
I'm a big girl now. I'm an adult now.
Yeah, I didn't get out of my pajamas today, so like we're both doing great.
We're doing fantastic.
It's my day off.
I'm proud of you. I love that. No, I actually just realized that one of the adult things I had to come to the realization of is that, well, to be fair, I think it's because it is Halloween weekend this weekend. But it dawned on me that I have laundry to do. Mm-hmm. I want to go get my nails done, get a pedicure. I have so many things I want to do this weekend. And there's only so much time in a weekend. And like my laundromat, your last wash, that's done before I get back to Astoria. Oh. So like I can't do laundry during the week with my hours. So
you can drop it off.
It's so expensive.
You have a real job now.
Oh,
realization has hit.
Well, I like that.
Realization has hit.
A real job now, except you know what the fun part about starting a new job is? It takes a minute to get paid.
That is true. That is very
so
true.
So I'm like, I am working. You know what? I am actively working, but I have not seen any money from it.
You know what the fun part about a vacation is? That when you are not a salaried position, you don't get paid for a week.
Oh, no.
Like, oh, crap. So I picked up a lot of shifts this week. And I regret that decision immensely because people.
People.
Yes.
You have encountered some people.
Yeah. People have been super fun in New York. In other news, after taking a couple sips of this beer, I'm actually impressed.
It's delicious.
So we are drinking today. I picked up a spooky beer at work. I've been waiting for it. So we are drinking the Departed Souls Ghosts of Pumpkins Past. It's a gluten-free pumpkin spiced ale.
No way.
This is why I'm legitimately surprised that.
Oh, I'm absolutely sending this to my friend. She loves all things fall, but she does have a very severe celiac.
Yeah. You know how I said I was going to write down the name of the beer and everything, so I didn't do that? I was actually, now that trying it, I'm like, want to look at it. This is brewed in New Jersey, 100% gluten free ingredients. I'm very, very impressed with this beer.
Oh, I love that. It is and very good.
It was the spookiest name we had at work.
Yes. Well, they did a really good job on their graphic design, too. They have those, like, it almost looks like Tim Burton trees.
It's very Nightmare Before Christmas.
It is, which we all know is my fave.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah, so last week I spent the week on a beach and it was lovely. And now I'm back here and New York is horrible. I just want you all to know New York is horrible.
Why?
Was on a beach last week.
Oh, but it's fall. Okay.
Okay. No, wait. Okay. But actually, no. Actually, this is my favorite time of year in New York.
Okay.
Because
I know
told
I
you
saw
that,
your post the other day and I was like, okay, ma'am.
But it is absolutely my favorite time of year in New York because in fall in New York, early fall, right around this time of year, every single year without fail, New Yorkers collectively do not know how to dress for the weather.
No.
And it cracks me the fuck up because it's like you're walking down the street and you're like, okay, sweatshirt. Yeah, that makes sense. You see t-shirt and I'm like, no, yeah, that can make sense too. And then you see winter coat and you're like, okay. And then you see hat, scarf, gloves, and you're like, I guess if that makes you happy, sure. And then you see shorts and you're like, wow, we're bold today. And then you see like sandals. It's the range.
Yep.
You see all the seasons of apparel on people. And like, I literally yesterday saw all of this walking to my grocery store three blocks away from my house.
I love that. It's also and such
New Yorkers literally do not know how to dress for the weather right now.
No, because it's also, like you said, it's such a good representation of your quintessential New Yorker.
Yeah.
You have the New Yorker who clearly has not switched out their drawers yet.
Yeah.
And then the other New Yorker who is very on top of it. And might be overcompensating.
Yeah.
So that's also a very good representation.
It cracks me up every year. It's my favorite time of year in New York. I'm so happy it's right now.
I agree.
In New York. I still hate it here right now because I was on a beach last week and it was lovely.
Okay. But the trees, I will take a video. So where I've been working in Manhattan, it is Hell's Kitchen neighborhood. Mm. And some of those avenues are, I love them, especially in the 40s. You walk down with like,
they're so treed. Pretty. Yeah.
And so, and today, especially walking down, I had T-Swift and Fleetwood Mac in my ear. It was a good morning.
Wait, do you have like T-Swizzle in one ear and then then F-Mac in the other?
That's hilarious. No.
My old coworkers used to refer to Taylor Swift as T-Swizzle.
That is her proper name, and you are a true fan if you know where the T-Swizzle comes from. Her and T-Fame.
I only know that thanks to Alex and Keegan from my old job.
I will send you the video if you've not seen it yet. It's hilarious.
Only reason I call her T-Swizzle is because those two always refer to her as T-Swizzle.
That is her absolute stage name. They're true fans.
Oh, they are.
Love them.
Yeah, they got mad at me for not watching a documentary about her.
There's a couple now. That's okay. I feel like you get enough information from me.
I do. I do. I get way more Taylor Swift information than I ever wanted. Anyway, I don't even ask and I get it.
I'm sorry. Any quiz. So I was walking down and the trees were beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Especially this morning with the leaves changing and everything. So tomorrow I will take a picture and send it to you.
Yeah.
It might revive your spirit and you'll appreciate it a little
Maybe.
Bit more.
I don't know. I had a really good vacation.
You did have a good vacation. This is true. Oh, my God. You know what's hilarious, guys? Huh? So about an hour and a half ago, I bragged that I was ready and had a hot take.
She did.
This week.
And she forgot it.
I can't remember.
My roommate was finishing watching Phantom of the Opera in the living room, which is right off of my bedroom. So we're like, we're both hungry.
And as much as we want Phantom of the Opera on the podcast,
we
don't want to get
We sued. Legally can't have Phantom of the Opera playing on the podcast. Like, my room is soundproof. It's sound treated, but not soundproof.
Yes.
So we decided to go get drinks and an appetizer.
We did. And I had a hot take.
And then she forgot it.
Well, because Aaron and I watched Rise of Skywalker last Friday night. And I swear to God, I had a hot take, but according to him, we just asked him and I was like, God damn it. I was like, did I say it out loud to you by any chance? He does not think I did. I apparently just said it to myself and then I forgot to write it down. So, or at least like make a note on my phone. So I'm going to let you go first.
All right. So my hot take, as I've thought long and hard about this hot take over my break of my extended time, and I certainly did not think of this hot take while we were sitting at the bar. Because I would never do that to you guys. Because I cared.
Did you pull a Cassie?
Too much. No, I'm sitting here at the table and I already knew it.
Wow. Yeah. That sounded like such a dig. Because it was.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was also warranted. So continue.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Okay. So as a person who has dealt with a dog who has shaggy hair.
Uh-huh.
And we were talking about like Chewbacca costumes and everything. And it brought up the thought of Chewbacca doesn't wear pants.
Oh, no.
And
I know where this is going.
Bathroom issues with Chewbacca. Like, I've had to deal with dingleberries on the regular. Is that like a Han job? Is that a. Is he able to, like, deal with them himself? Does he comb them out? Does he have to cut them out? What's going on down there? Because I have some questions. Because I have dealt with a dog with hair similar to Chewbacca's for quite a while. And he is lovely and he is wonderful, but he gets fucking dingleberries all the time. And so I need to know, like, are Wookiees built different? Are they, are you just not going to respond to my question?
Why would you do that?
Because I thought about it. It's a hot Magnolia. Take. It's a hot take. It is an unpopular opinion and nobody wants to think about Chewbacca pooping, but I will. I'll do it for you people.
You made me call you by your Christian name.
That is not my name.
I know. It is now.
I mean, that is not my name.
Listen. It is when you piss me off.
Am I wrong?
You know what?
Am I wrong?
Wipes?
Do they exist? Do they have wipes in the refreshers on the Millennium Falcon?
They have to because of all the different... Okay, all the different species that exist throughout space, you have to be considerate of every race, religion, culture, species.
Assume that they would use something that they would be sophisticated enough to use something like a bidet.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. But I'm more concerned about, like, Chewbacca going to, even if they're using a bidet, like, Chewbacca going to the bathroom, and then he's got, like, a wet butt because he doesn't wear pants.
I don't want
to
think about
that. Well, we have to. These are questions that need to be answered.
These are questions. Keep me up at night.
Yeah, this is where we're at right now. I need to know what's going on with that situation.
Is this payback for me fucking you up while you were counting money last night?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
God damn it.
Yeah. 100% it is.
Yeah, I'm going to go the bidet route. I really don't want to think about this. But I'm going to assume that they are very inclusive. They are very inclusive.
Well, they'd have to be.
In a galaxy far, far away. Yeah. So I'm going to go with that.
Okay, cool. I'm glad we've cleared this up.
I hate you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Love you.
I'm just kidding.
And I love you all, and I hope you all think about this long.
Oh, my
and
God.
Hard
speaking
tonight.
Of love, I'm not stalling. Speaking of love. So I have to tell a really quick, cute, adorable story really quick. So one of my friends, she is so adorable. She was wine drunk like a week or so ago. And she made all of her friends take a love language quiz. And it was the cutest thing. She was like, I just want to know how to love my friends. I was like, I love that about you so much. You know who I'm talking about. That is not surprising at all. So adorable.
No, it's adorable.
Right. And so I was like, that makes sense.
It's gross, but like gross in an adorable way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I took it and I told Maggie about it and I sort of forgot and then remembered to send it to you.
Then you made me take it.
I did make you take it. And we both, it doesn't surprise me that we both are very much quality time.
Yeah.
That's our number one love language. We're like, I want to spend time with you. Even if it's me, how many times have I just been like sitting on your floor reading a book?
Yeah. When I'm doing work.
Exactly. I just want to be in the same room as you. You know, like, I can be doing my own thing. You can be doing your own. I just like
you don't have to talk. I don't have to talk to you.
Absolutely.
Just like,
don't talk to me.
I prefer, like, we've done that.
How many times have most of me and my friends like fallen asleep on my couch?
Yeah.
Not even really paying attention. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Or just like scrolling through our phones. It's just quality time. Yeah. Except you were most definitely, your last was physical touch.
Yeah, like, don't fucking touch me.
You're like, don't touch me. Mine, that was like my top three. I was like, quality time, validate me, words of affirmation. Also, no surprise there.
Whoa.
And then like physical touch, because that's just who I am as a person.
Well, the thing that like cracks me up, like, because we were talking about, I had a thought and then it was gone.
What were you saying?
This is why we shouldn't have done a shot at the bar.
I blame... Aaron, I swear to God.
I don't do shots for a reason. And I'm actually really proud of these notes for this week. So.
It's also because our dinner was kale dumplings.
I'm sorry. I had an English muffin with tuna salad on it.
Okay, I had a heavy lunch and a late lunch, so I thought I would be fine.
Fuck that.
Right? I was like, I had a lot of food today, and I usually don't eat that much during the day.
Did you do a hot take?
No, I'm stalling.
Oh, fuck, you're still stalling.
Yeah. What were you saying about the love languages? You were...
Don't touch me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. I like, lost my train of thought completely. Oh, God. Thank God I took really comprehensive notes.
Proud of you.
With a lot of arrows, because I wrote them out of order.
You're doing fantastic. Anyway, so where are we going with this?
About love languages and...
Oh, I love it. So anyone who's listening, if you want to, like... love your friends. That sounds weird. If you just want to like know how to like interact with human beings, you know, we're all like different. You should know like what
we all appreciate different things. Like
exactly.
Because you're like touch thing was much, much, like, significantly higher than mine.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was, like, in, like, the single-digit percentage.
That's right. Oh, me showing you a sexual picture of Jack and Sally all over each other? No like, way. Ah. My judging is much higher. Shocker there.
Yeah, mine was like, I don't need
like,
that.
You're like, no, absolutely
I don't necessarily, like, that's not that important to me.
Yeah, for sure. Like. That's you, and that's good to know. But that's what I mean. It's so
quality time and praise is all I want.
Same. Those were definitely my top two. I think we both had that
yeah,
for
just,
our top two.
Just praise me on things that I do. I thrive on compliments.
Yeah.
I, like, flattery will get you everywhere.
Will literally get you everywhere.
Yeah, like, literally.
No
I,
shame.
Yeah.
100%.
Pretty much.
Anyway, okay, my Star Wars hot take. It was from The Rise of Skywalker, and I can't really remember. I think it had something, I honestly, in my brain right now, like, visually thinking of the movie, I think it had something to do with the Sith Finder.
Like the, I think like it the had dagger? To do with that. Or the, no. Or the actual, no, the, like, actual the thing that looked. The
oh! Thing. Maybe it did have to do with the dagger.
Yeah. Because I have a hot take about the dagger.
We had a conversation about this. Did the dagger exist before the wreckage or after? It had to exist after.
It had to exist after.
They had
after.
To make it after because
but
it's literally
also,
a
like,
map.
Like, my big problem with the dagger is, what if she wasn't standing in the exact perfect spot
that's
for that
kind
to
of what
like
we
that's my
about.
Big problem with the dagger.
Yeah.
I don't mind the dagger as a concept or anything like that. It's just she has to be in the exact right spot for that to work.
Yeah.
And that's, like, I mean, of the sequels, Rise of Skywalker is by far my least favorite. I think it's kind of lazy.
Okay.
I mean, it's still super fun.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it. I think it's super fun. I think from just, like, looking at it from the way I look at things with, like, my pages and pages of notes,
mm-hmm.
it's a little lazy, in my opinion.
I think that's
but I still think it's a, I still think it's a fun movie. I still enjoy it. I mean, I will go to bat for Babu Frick in a heartbeat. He
oh,
is the cutest
him.
Fucking thing
yes.
on the planet. I love him so much. It hurts. But still, I think Rise of Skywalker is probably the laziest of the Star Wars movies.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a fair opinion. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's what actually sparked the conversation between the two of us. And we were like, it had to have been made after because it's literally a map.
Yeah, it's literally a map, but it...
They went back and made this, like, map on this dagger after?
Yeah, and, like...
The wreckage?
Well, I mean, the Sith Eternal has existed throughout this whole... Throughout that whole thing. So, mm-hmm. From when that wreckage appeared on the planet. So, they would have been able to do that. It's just... There's some logistics that don't fully line
yeah.
up for me.
That was my hot take. That's what it was.
Yeah.
It had to do with that dagger map and the Sith Wayfinder with that.
Yeah. And the fact that, like, she's just, like, conveniently standing in the perfect spot.
Exactly. I mean, it's a movie.
Like, if you're gonna have a problem with Rey, that is an acceptable problem to have with Rey. How did she know to stand in that spot?
Right?
Yeah.
Well, she did do, like, a 360. She did a rotation.
So
she could have been in that region.
Like, what if she had been, like, 30 feet over and she did it, like, a sweep of it and, like, nothing matches?
All right. Anyway, so that is my hot take. Haha, I remembered.
Proud
Yay!
Of you.
Thank you. Right. I got there eventually.
All right, let's do an ad.
Oh, God.
All right, and we're back from the ad that just happened. Yay. Look at us go.
Yay.
Look at us go. We're killing this.
I'm excited about this week. I'm excited about this week's topic because we are wrapping up our spooky
series. We are wrapping up our spooky series with and tying it into our Women of Star Wars series.
Hell yeah.
Because I feel like that's the best way to wrap up any of our extended series that we've just suddenly randomly decided to do.
Absolutely. Planned this.
I planned this episode.
You did. You absolutely did.
I didn't write the notes until today.
That's okay.
But I planned this episode.
You've been excited for this episode for a while. And I'm also excited. Because it's another, like, witchy.
I'm very excited about these guys. So we are talking about the Night Sisters today. So the Night Sisters, they are also known as the Witches of Dathomir or the Daughters of Dathomir. Obviously, they are from the planet Dathomir. Like, there's literally no shocker there. So
isn't that where
Maul is?
Ventress?
Yes, Ventress is from Dathomir. Maul is also from
Look
Dathomir.
Look at me remembering.
I know. I'm.
What?
I thought you were going to go with the obvious answer. No, Ventress. You went with. I'm really impressed.
Thank you. Let that be known for all the listeners out there that I remembered a goddamn fact.
Listen.
From sometimes. Last season.
Yeah, that was from last season.
Months ago.
Ha-ha. That is from one of our first episodes in this series of Women in Star Wars.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Or Women of Star Wars, or whatever the fuck we call this series.
That's okay. I just wanted to impress you.
I know. But like, literally, this is Ventress was one of our first women that we covered.
She kind
of
was.
Yeah. So
thank you.
I'm actually really proud right now.
You're like, oh my God.
Okay. So getting back to Dathomir. Dathomir is also nicknamed the Rancor planet.
Okay.
So lots of Rancors on Dathomir. It's located
again? I'm so sorry.
The one that Luke fought in Return of the Jedi in Jabba's palace, the big when he got dropped into the cage and there was the big creature that came out,
yes.
And then when he dropped the lid on it, and then the guy was like, "Oh no, my baby!" And I as a child was so devastated for that man because he seemed to love that Rancor so much.
Okay, sorry, I just needed a quick.
As a child, I was devastated when that man. When that man came in and saw his Rancor, he started crying. That guy.
It is very sad.
So, Dathomir is located in the Outer Rim, 90% of the planets that we cover.
Almost everything in Star Wars.
Almost everything in Star Wars that we deal with is dealing with the Outer Rim.
They
almost,
just have the most fun out there.
I almost, at this point, I want to see more core storylines, core world story. I mean, yeah, but we cover everything. I feel 90% of the topics that we talk about is a planet in the Outer Rim or I want to get into some core rim, core worlds.
Mix it up a little bit.
It up a little bit. I want to see some core worlds, some mid rim, I don't know. Just the Outer Rim is okay, we get it. That's where the fun is. Apparently, where the action is. So Dathomir was actually neutral during the Clone Wars, and the planet, it literally, when you look at the planet Dathomir, it looks like Mars. It is a red planet. When you're on Dathomir, the light on Dathomir has a red hue to it because it's of the, because of the central star, that's the light they get from it is very red.
Okay.
Very spooky. The planet does have a lot of vegetation, but it has spooky vegetation. It has creepy trees. And
so Tim Burton designed.
Very Tim Burton-esque.
Got it.
lots of fog. All the fog
you
on Dathomir.
You gotta have the fog.
Dathomir is actually, it is also a planet that is full of dark side energy. It is a very dark planet.
Okay.
But they also have, Dathomir has oceans, it has mountains, it has a lot of different things going on, but we're not going to talk about that.
Okay.
So the Night Sisters, they are not the only sentients that are living on Dathomir. They're also, and all of the other sentient beings on Dathomir are kind of in a clan structure. They're all mostly witches for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Blue Coral Divers clan, which I'm guessing is ocean.
Yeah. Mermaids.
Mermaids. Sure.
Sure.
The Singing Mountain Clan, the Howling Crag Clan, and you also have the Night Brothers. And we're going to come back to the Night Brothers in a little bit because they're important.
Interesting.
So the Night Sisters, they live in the swamps of Dathomir because, of course, they do. They're witches.
I also have to tell you what I'm picturing in my brain right now. I hope you know this entire episode. Mm-hmm. I'm just we're talking about Macbeth. Awesome. The Witches of Macbeth.
You've just cursed this episode.
Yep.
Go outside and spin around three times.
Go stay in the corner and think about what you did.
No, go outside and spin around three times. Oh. That's the cure for that.
I know.
I actually don't really believe in that.
Hamilton, though, on stage 8 nights a week curses Broadway. By the way, I blame them for COVID. That's a hot take for another time. Because he says Macbeth. Straightforward on that goddamn Broadway stage, and he knows better.
He does.
Lin-Manuel, I'm talking to you.
We're getting into the point of my notes where I realized I wrote them out of order, so there are a lot of arrows happening, so there's going to be a lot of page turns, guys. I apologize in advance. Okay, so allegedly, I'm saying allegedly because it's their mythology within themselves. It's their origin story that they tell themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The first Night Sisters were actually trained by Aaliyah, who was a former Jedi who was exiled to Dathomir for reasons.
Okay.
I could not find reasons. Okay. There's no record of her with the Jedi, but this is what they say, is that she was an exiled Jedi. They sent her to Dathomir, and then she trained these women on Dathomir.
Ooh, I want to know more about her.
I know. Samesies. So she is the one that wrote their Book of Law. And the Book of Law for the Night Sisters is basically, there isn't a whole lot of information that I could find on the Book of Law. The Book of Law basically really just teaches the Night Sisters to hate the Jedi.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
To like not respect them at all.
So she's, oh my God, I feel like she's Ahsoka how many years ago?
She's what Ahsoka could have been.
I was going to say, she's shaded.
She is salty.
And she decided to be post.
Yeah, she is petty.
She did not go to therapy.
She created a
Ahsoka went to therapy.
Yeah, she created a religion to be like, fuck those guys.
All right, that's fine.
So the Night Sisters, they use magic with a K because it's Star Wars. And we have to change things up a little bit.
Star Wars.
And that is also known as like shadow magic, force magic, or force sorcery. And that is linked directly to the dark side, but it's not the same way that the Jedi or the Sith use the Force. So basically, like Mother Talzin, who is the clan leader during the Clone Wars, the one that we meet as clan leader of the Night Sisters, said at one point, "I am not a natural Force wielder like the Jedi or Sith. I use dark magic to achieve power."
Oh.
Yes.
Like wait, so Aaliyah said that?
No, Mother Talzin. Mother Talzin, so at the time when we're introduced to the Night Sisters in the Clone Wars, Mother Talzin is the leader of this clan, and she says that about her abilities, her sorcery abilities.
Sounds very Voldemort and the Death Eaters.
Yeah, I'll show you a picture of her later.
Okay, great.
They're all very gray.
Does she have a nose?
She does have a nose. So Mother Talzin also makes a comment about how at one point Darth Sidious came to Dathomir a long time ago and they mingled his dark side shit with their Night Sister shit to do some other shit. But okay. But so she's making a distinction between the Force and Night Sister's magic.
Got it.
So most like, from what I understand from looking this up, this is mainly my opinion on the whole thing. Most likely the Night Sisters are actually using the Force, but they just don't see what they're doing with it as the Force. It's like a really big gray area. Also, nobody really understands the Force. The Force is fucking weird.
So it's pretty much today's conceptualism of religion.
Yeah, pretty much.
Most religions have the same core values, but everyone just like interprets them and views them differently.
Yeah, they're doing them slightly differently. Okay. Like, because like I'm of the mindset that the Night Sisters are mostly force sensitive in the same way that the Knights of Ren were force sensitive, where if they went up against an actual Jedi, that they're probably not going to be able to succeed. But
they did not Ben Solo kill them all.
Like the Knights. I'm so happy for you. The Knights of Ren were like that. They were force sensitive, but they weren't as strong as a Jedi. The Inquisitors are the same way when we see them in Rebels, is that they're force sensitive, but a Jedi can take them.
Okay.
But the big thing that like where the way I see it is that Dathomir is a nexus in the Force, so it's very very strong in the Force, and that they're drawing on this power from the planet. And if you take them off world, they become less powerful.
Okay.
So you do get certain Night Sisters that are completely force sensitive, like Ventress, where you take her off world and she is just as powerful.
100%, absolutely.
But that's not all of them.
Okay.
Like, that's pretty much how I see them.
I remember in her episode, you kind of touched on the Night Sisters because she was basically a part of that clan, but then wasn't. She was like,
she was kind of like sold off from them. And then she came
was a part of slavery.
And then she came back to them. So she was sold off because she was,
but they almost
she was
like
force
shunned
sensitive.
Her because.
But when she came back, when she did come back, she was welcomed in and went through the whole ritual with Mother Talzin. Right.
Okay.
It's just they, we'll get into how they view people, places, and things.
Okay. Sorry. It's all coming back to me now. I'll stop.
I'm going to stop before we get, like, please stop. Sued.
You're like, stop it.
Be careful about copyrights.
I feel like Celine would appreciate it.
So in order to use their magic with a K, what the Night Sisters would do is they would tap into the planet's ichor, or basically what they called the waters of life. And it is this neon green mist that they can use to create objects, and they can also transform people into, like, ghost versions of themselves. They use this in a very different way than the Jedi and the Sith.
Interesting.
Like, Maul also... Oh, what else can they do before I get into Maul? They can also reanimate the dead.
You're not supposed to do that in magic.
Yeah, but you
can't.
That's,
like, the number one rule and, like, most things across the board in magic.
It doesn't go well for them.
You don't do it.
But Maul says... During the Rebels series, he says that the altar in their village is the focus of their power. So I think that is where, like, just there, that, like, nexus is, like, there's just, like, a really strong point there. They're using that point within that altar to kind of channel everything.
Okay.
Because I don't think they're not as force sensitive as a Jedi or a Sith.
Okay. They love their crystals.
They do. They do. Essential oils, crystals, whatever. Oh, they would, like, they are the angriest MLM ever.
Right. They're the quintessential, like, millennial witches.
Oh, yeah. Also, they are a fully matriarchal society.
Oh, yeah. I remember us talking
fully
about that.
Like, this is, they're only women.
Yes.
There are no men in this village.
None allowed. You know, they might be onto something.
So, even though they're tapping into the dark side to get this power, they aren't corrupted like the way that the Sith are corrupted by the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the way that they're able to avoid this is that they're exposed to this power from such a young age, and the fact that they view the dark side as a tool.
Okay.
And so they're not using, like, they're using the dark side as a tool to ensure their clan's survival. So the Night Sisters view pretty much... is the way they view the world is that everything is a tool, including the clan of the Night Brothers, who the Night Brothers live on the other side of the planet. They are a male clan of Zabrax on Dathomir, ruled by the Night Sisters.
Ah.
And that's right. Like, I love that somebody pointed this out on TikTok a while back. But the beautiful fucking thing that they did in Clone Wars with Maul, that we got more Maul and we got to see more of his character, is that Maul always addresses Ahsoka as Lady Tano. He never addresses Obi-Wan Kenobi by his rank or title or anything like that. He just addresses him as Kenobi. He addresses Anakin Skywalker not as Master Skywalker, as Jedi Skywalker, as Skywalker. But Ahsoka is Lady Tano because he is raised in a matriarchal society. So he respects women enough to use their titles.
Not mad about that.
Yeah, like he refers to the Duchess.
Is that Ahsoka's last name, Tano?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh. I learned something new today.
That's the only thing you've learned?
What? I'm just kidding.
but I do love that. Oh, so completely forgot when we were talking about how the Night Sisters view everything as a tool.
Yes.
And how they are better at dealing with like they don't have the same issues that the Sith have with the dark side, where they're not consumed by it.
Okay.
But their power definitely is coming from the dark side. Ventress actually said this to Quillen Voss at one point when she was talking about the dark side to him. She said, "Night Sisters know the dark side better than anyone. We grow up steeped in it, but we can use it as a tool and stay ourselves, unlike the Sith." So, like, she fully lays it out. Like, they are fully aware that they are tapping into the dark side, but that they are not fully consumed by it the way the Sith are.
Yeah. I have to ask, though, like, if they're only using the dark side, like, we talk about this so many times just because it is such a theme through Star Wars, is the balance to the Force.
Yeah.
Like, you're telling me that they have that knowledge, but they don't tap into the light at all?
I don't necessarily think that, because the next thing she says right after that is she tells Quaylen Voss is that's the balance that you need to find.
Is no, that, I don't believe that.
That's what she says about it.
Okay.
I think it's just the way they view, I think it's in my notes.
I think if it was a true balance, then they would pull from both sides.
I don't think it's a true balance. It's definitely not a true balance.
Absolutely not.
But basically the way the Night Sisters view the world and things within the world is that if a tool isn't useful anymore, you get rid of it. Hence, they don't have the passion or rage that the Sith have. And that's the thing the dark side is really latching onto is passion
okay,
and
so
rage.
They check their anger at the door.
Yeah, they are very in control of their emotions when it comes to things like that. And where we see the difference, where we see the variation in that, we actually see it in Ventress when she's aligned with the Sith. She is full of rage. Mm-hmm. She has a lot of passion.
Mm-hmm.
But when she's removed from that, she's able to kind of check her emotions. And I love that it's a clan of women that we're seeing this, like women who are always told you're too emotional. Women are like, can't just
get.
Is that Star Wars showed us this clan of women who have literally checked their emotions at the door.
Absolutely.
And said, if this is not useful to me, this is not important to me anymore.
I appreciate that. Cause it's like, I completely understand that. Cause it's like, while I might be passionate or emotional, whatever you want to call it, I still am fully acknowledging what I am feeling in the moment, and I don't let it overtake me, and I can validate it and talk about it and communicate properly through it.
Yeah, I don't think the way that they view all of this is incredibly healthy, but it's definitely better than the Sith. I think the Sith definitely have more of a male-focused, like the way that at least men that I've known in my life in the past have viewed the world is that they're significantly more emotional than I am, and yet I'm the one that is called emotional.
Absolutely.
And so I do think their mindset of if this is not useful, this is not necessary.
Yep.
And I do not need it.
Good life advice.
Yeah, but they also, this mindset really does allow them to care about each other, which is how they can use the dark side but not become consumed by it the way that we saw within the prequels, the way we saw Anakin become consumed by it because cared so much. Like, that's where we see Anakin fall to the dark side, is that Anakin cares so much about Padme that he ends up basically killing her.
Yeah. Like, let's overtake him. Absolutely.
Let's, like, take this a step too far.
Right. No, that's, I agree. That's why I appreciate these women, because they can see that, acknowledge it. Communication is key.
I love the way that they tell this story with these characters in the Clone Wars, and that Dave Filoni chose to move forward with this, in that you have a group of women who are strong. They are, like, of that, that is a matriarchal society. The women and the men are separate. The women are, even though the men, the Knight Brothers are warriors, the women rule them. And if they are no longer useful, I don't need you. They don't need anyone else. That's why they're a very secluded society within themselves.
That makes me a little sad for them.
It's a little sad, but I think it's thoroughly interesting.
Okay. That is interesting. It also, I have to tell you, I'm also like just trying to find a parallel. How many Night Sisters are there?
I don't know.
I'm just curious because I'm like, even from the moment you mentioned the name, I'm just like, this is a very Hocus Pocus episode. This is a very Sanderson Sisters episode.
Yeah, I mean, it's a village. So
we hate men, but we're going to use them for our own advantage.
Pretty much.
We're going to do this. Oh, 100%. You're not useful to me. But it's also like, okay. Yeah. Like, I get it some certain extent, but at the same time, like, but no.
But not everyone from this planet is a Night Sister.
Okay.
Not everyone of this species, like in the same sense that not every Zabrak is a Night Brother.
Okay.
Not every female of, like, because the Night Sisters are very humanoid, but they have kind of grayish skin. They have some markings on their skin, but they are pretty much identical to humans, except for their coloring and their markings.
Okay.
But I don't think everyone who necessarily falls, I couldn't find like a concrete answer to that of what their species is because they keep referring to them as like young women or women.
Okay.
So I think it's just kind of like it to me, it just seems like an evolutionary thing. I could be 100% wrong on this and I just didn't look at the right place. So into the initiation of the Night Sisters. How do you become one? To become a full Night Sister. So basically, prior to this, you have been kind of like training throughout your formative years as a child through this. But if you want to like fully like, you know, I'm ready, I'm going to be a Night Sister. Mm-hmm. What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to subdue a powerful, strong-willed creature that lives in the pools in the village of the Night Sisters. And that creature is called the Sleeper. And I could not get like a real concrete description of the Sleeper, so I'm not going to describe it. But from what I understand is that the Sleeper, the way it appears to you, it varies from person to person. And like Ventress basically spells that out when she's talking about the Sleeper, is that from person to person, it's going to look different. One person said it was violet. One person said look the same color as the water. One person said it was white.
Oh my God, it's a bugger. It is. It absolutely is. I also don't 100% know if I'm pronouncing that word correctly.
Boggart? Yeah, I think that's how you say it.
Bogger? I've heard it pronounced so many different ways. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's absolutely what it is. That's hilarious.
The only thing that
Sometimes it turns into Snape. You never know. Sometimes it's a moon if you're a werewolf. It's fine.
I also love how half of like with the Boggart stuff in Harry Potter, how like half the stuff they're afraid of, I'm like, well, there are worse things. Like, but how do you like?
There are children.
What if you're afraid of like being alone? How does the Boggart like deal with that?
Oh yeah, that could be a thing. Yeah, absolutely.
Besides the point,
they were like 14 in that book, so that's understandable.
But apparently, Ventress said the only thing that everyone can agree on with how the Sleeper looks is that they all agree they were absolutely terrified of it.
It's your fear. It latches onto your number one
absolutely
fear.
Absolutely your fear. And the thing is, with the Sleeper, if you give in to your fear, the Sleeper is going to take you and you will die. So that
mine
is,
would be a
big,
spider. Because I am Ron Weasley.
Oh, God. What would
mine would be a massive, disgusting, oh, I can't even say that loud. Oh, my God. Yep, 100%. I would take
I don't know how the Sleeper...
I would run the other way. I'd be like, bye!
I don't know how the Sleeper would portray failure.
Stop.
Like, if it's true!
Like a paper with a big F on it.
Just like a comical version of my worst fear. That's all I need.
Oh my God, stop.
Okay, but basically, with the test of the Sleeper, you give in to your fear, you die. And so what would happen after you subdued the Sleeper, you would have to bring back a part of its body, and that part of its body would be converted into the Water of Life. And the Water of Life, like their magic source that they get from the planet, and they get just like they're adding to it.
Okay. Interesting. Very interesting concept.
Yeah. I'm thoroughly fascinated by the Night Sisters.
It's like overcoming your fear becomes a part of you. So yeah. You're giving that into the light.
They're not giving their fear power.
No.
Is they are essentially, when you face that fear, you diminish the power of that fear.
Absolutely. You're creating.
And it makes them stronger as a clan and everything. And most everything they do is to preserve their clan.
Yeah.
So the Night Sisters, they, like, first off, they do have a couple deities. Some of them worship a winged deity that is like the goddess of fertility on their planet. Some of them worship a fanged deity, which is the god of death. So they're like, all over the place on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But the Night Sisters, they view death as very much a part of life, and they don't fear death. Death is just a thing that happens. So when a Night Sister died, the body was mummified and then hung in a burial pod made out of animal skins with some tassels hanging off because tassels. We love tassels. I love a fringe.
Mummified, hung with animals
in
are they witches or vampires?
We're going to get into zombies. Don't worry. We're going to get into zombies in a second.
I'm like, good Lord. We're just covering all the topics in this
one. All of them.
All the spooky topics.
Why do you think I saved this for Halloween?
I love that about you. You're like, we're talking about witches, we're talking about vampires, we're talking about zombies.
The fact that I use the term Halloween and I hate myself for that.
I love that about you because
I did that for you.
Can we talk about the fact that this might be the first year that I'm not dressing up every night of the week?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, that's sad. What happened to me? That's sad to me.
I'm busting out my same skeleton sweatshirt that I've worn for the past 4 years.
I want to dress up more than once.
That's the only reason I haven't thrown out that sweatshirt. I only wear it on Halloween.
I love that.
So, what is it? So they hang them up in a burial pod that's made out of animal skins with tassels. They anoint the animal skins with oil. They also put protection spells on the pods when they make them, and they hang them off of branches and bones to kind of mimic the trees in the swamps where they live.
Okay.
So basically, when the shit went down between Ventress and Dooku, when they kind of had their little falling out, that did not go well for Ventress.
No.
Yes. So Dooku sent Grievous to attack the Night Sisters.
Rude.
And old Daka, who is one of the basically the most powerful Night Sisters, that she's not the leader of the clan, but she is probably the most powerful with the...
Okay, she's like the big bad.
Yeah, she's not the big bad. We're kind of rooting for them in this moment.
That's not what I meant.
Yeah.
I meant like, by big bad, I meant like in a positive way. Does that make sense?
She's like the big, powerful one.
Yeah. Words are hard.
But she uses her Night Sister magic to wake up the dead Night Sisters. So the fact, like...
Hence the zombies. So she brings them back to life.
Yes.
She said, bitch, try me.
So old Daka, essentially, in using this Night Sister spell to wake up the dead Night Sisters, creates an army, which basically means, like, hence the importance of the mummification of their bodies.
Uh-huh.
That's why they mummify them and hang them in pods instead of burying them.
Okay.
Basically, the battle with Grievous is essentially the end of the Night Sisters, mainly because Grievous has not the numbers with the droids, and mainly because, and also because he's able to take out Mother Talzin and old Daka. And when he takes out old Daka, he takes out the entire army. She is controlling all of the zombie Night Sisters.
Oh, shit.
And they are, so, like, they're holding their own. You've got Ventress with her lightsabers. You've got the rest of the Night Sisters with the energy bows that they're using to this. And some of it, like, they're also using their magic as well. And then you have their army of the dead.
Yeah.
That is fighting these droids.
Time out. This is all against Grievous.
This is all against Grievous and his droids and Dooku. Okay. Well. Dooku has ordered the attack, but Grievous is the one on the ground.
Dooku, Grievous, and their droids.
Dooku is not on the ground.
Grievous and his droids.
Yeah. And
I just had to like pause for a minute because I'm like, as much as I love this so much, but I'm like, God damn, you got to give props to Grievous and the fact that it takes an army of them,
I mean,
zombies, to go against him. Like,
Ventress,
wow.
I mean, Ventress at one point tells him, you know what? Let's do it. You and me right now. Whoever wins, wins. Wow. If I beat you, you surrender to me. If you beat me, the Night Sisters will surrender to you. And she almost has Grievous. And she she really legitimately almost has him. And then he just calls out, kill her. So he changes the rules right when she almost had him.
He sucks.
Yeah.
He's the worst.
So, like, they're really putting up a fight. And the only reason that they're able to be defeated in this moment is because Grievous changes the rules. He changes the rules that he had with Ventress. And then he's able to take out old Daka and Mother Talzin. But they're able to do some, like, significant damage prior to this. Like, Mother Talzin, prior to this, basically convinced Dooku that they were on the same side. And so she convinces him to drink some of the water of life. So he has some of that in him.
Okay.
And what she's able to do with this, she's essentially able to make a Dooku voodoo doll out of him, which she holds over, like, this boiling vat of liquid. And we see Dooku get, like, these blisters on his face. Also, kids cartoon.
Don't like that.
Also, like, I always like to remember, like, this is a kid's cartoon.
Right.
And So she's able to put him through this excruciating pain to the point that he's lying on in a bed, and she's able to burst her like ghost spirit out of his body and basically talk down to him and
atta say, like, girl,
back the fuck
she's
off.
A bitch, try me.
Yeah, like, she's like, mm-mm, we're done. She has him go through all of that, and the only reason that they lose this battle is Grievous is able to take out Old Daka and Mother Talzin. Mm. Those are the two.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
And Ventress is able to escape, obviously, from this battle. But, and essentially, the Night Sisters are essentially wiped out in this moment. But even after they're wiped out, they're still fucking powerful.
Well, yeah.
So years and years later, we're talking like rebels. We've moved on from the Clone Wars to rebels. The Empire's in charge now. Maul and Ezra Bridger actually go back to Dathomir because they have some weird... Yes, that guy.
Okay.
They have this weird master-apprentice relationship. There, Maul keeps calling him apprentice when Ezra's like, no.
I don't think that's right, but okay.
But they go back to Dathomir to use the Night Sister magic to find the answers that they're looking for these questions. And Maul is looking for Kenobi because he's obsessed. And
what's your ringtone again?
Kenobi! That is still my ringtone. I really thought I would have changed it by now, and I haven't. I love it. I'm glad you so have much.
Not. You worked hard to get that.
I did. I had to figure out GarageBand.
I'm proud of you.
I use like actual legitimate editing software, and I could not fit it. I cannot figure out GarageBand.
That's okay.
And Ezra is looking for how to defeat the Sith, and he is like, they're both consumed by these questions. So they go back to Dathomir, and Maul has basically told him this is like, they go to the village of the Night Sisters. And Maul's like, we gotta go here. You gotta drink this shit. Here, drink this weird green shit that I found. Like, it's gonna be great.
But have another drink, my green elixir.
Yeah.
Okay, wicked.
Drink this absinthe.
Why not?
Let's all hallucinate together.
Ewan McGregor, if he's in the series, we're drinking absinthe.
We're drinking absinthe.
I had to.
I know, but here's the thing. I love absinthe.
It's so good, right?
So good.
Agree.
Absinthe, a little bit of sugar, and like some water drop, like the little like the water drop thing. I went to a bar where they had the full absinthe set up, and that's how you do it.
I just had a fantastic idea. The next time you and I rewatch one of the Star Wars movies, we should absolutely drink absinthe while doing it. This is a terrible idea, but we should do it. Let's
commit. You know, absinthe in the United States doesn't have the hallucinogen in it, right?
Can I ask my friends?
Do you want to just do mushrooms?
Overseas. I also have those.
Yeah, let's just do that.
We can do both.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue.
Okay. Back to the point.
Little off topic.
So they go there and they go to the altar where like Maul has claimed that like this is the point of their power. This is where their power is the strongest. We have to drink it here. They drink this shit and they're like, I see it. And Maul's like, I got to go back to a desert planet. God damn it. I was just there. I hate that
place.
That place sucks. But afterwards, the spirits of the Night Sisters appear to them in like creepy neon green ghost form.
Of course they do.
Like, that's how powerful these witches are on this planet. And they demand payment for working, for using their magic. They're like, no, we're not doing this shit for free. That's some bullshit.
Atta girl.
And what then the spirits of the Night Sisters are able to do, they're actually able to possess two members of the ghost crew. They're able to possess Kanan and Sabine. So they're able to possess a Jedi and a Mandalorian.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, like, what ends up happening, Ezra is able to break the curse by, or to break the possession by destroying the altar.
Okay.
And essentially kind of, like, releasing these ghosts back into the place. But they are, even in death, the Night Sisters are fucking scary.
Yeah, the Sanderson sisters.
They do not back down without a fight. I love the Night Sisters so much. I love like that. I've been so excited about this episode.
I love that so much. So because he destroyed their altar, does that mean that they're officially no more?
I don't necessarily think so.
Is there anyone left behind?
There are
Night Sisters?
Like Ventress had survived. There's another Night Sister. I can't remember her name, but she has survived in Jedi Fallen Order with she actually does shit with Cal Kestis. So there are Night Sisters who were off planet.
Oh.
When all this went down. But the main core of the Night Sisters on Dathomir are gone. And the main reason why the Night Sisters needed a form of payment and they needed to possess Kanan and Sabine is that they wanted to use them to rebuild their clan. They needed their bodies to rebuild their clan. Mm. So I don't think the Night Sisters, I don't think this is the last we'll see it. I think they're too interesting for Lucasfilm to let go of.
Yeah.
I think they are one of my favorite things that the Clone Wars has brought into Star Wars canon.
Wow.
I just think they're absolutely fascinating. This matriarchal society.
I agree.
Who, when they go to the Knight Brothers to pick out Knight Brothers that they're going to take, like, that's how Maul ended up with Sidious. Is that Sidious went to the Night Sisters and said, I need somebody. They went and then did this whole trial with them. Because we're going to get into this in a later episode when it comes to Maul. I didn't want to go too in deep with the Knight Brothers. Also, I feel like a fucking idiot because today's the first day I realized because I've always thought, Mother Talzin tells Dooku that there are members of Maul's bloodline that are still on Dathomir. And we meet them. And they're Savage and Feral. And I finally realized today that their names are Savage, Feral, and Maul.
Yeah.
I never fucking got... I felt like such a fucking idiot.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm like a dumb fuck when I realized that.
So just because I want to bring it up and in the wrap-up of this episode, and please correct me if I misunderstood anything, but I, as much as I agree, I love the Night Sisters. It's such like an interesting story and concept and everything. It reminds me of, like I said, one of my favorite tropes, especially of this time of year, these like powerful like witch coven, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I love the matriarchal bit of it too. I'm wondering, have you come across anything in your research or has the fandom ever had this conversation? I don't necessarily want to categorize them as feminist, though.
No, I wouldn't categorize them as
absolutely
feminist.
Absolutely not, because it's not equal.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. I wouldn't categorize them as feminist.
Because they do seem to be a little more man-hating.
Yeah, no, I...
Or they do seem to be a little bit more, like...
I definitely...
Controlling in that aspect. I would definitely... It's not so much equal.
I would definitely categorize them more as isolationist.
Yeah, that's true.
I wouldn't categorize them
but
as...
But they do rule themselves over that man.
Yeah, and that...
Clan.
Yeah.
The Knight Brothers.
Yeah, they're definitely a little tyrannical.
Yeah, they really are.
I wouldn't categorize them as feminist. I think it's just a very fun concept to see because it's something we never see that often. But I wouldn't, it's not a healthy version of feminism in any way, shape, or form.
It's not even in that
I don't even think they would consider, I don't think they would consider themselves feminist.
Okay. I just want to make sure. I didn't know, like, if in the fandom it was
not something
to be said. And I'm like, no, but it's not.
My knowledge. I just love the idea that this matriarchal society has all of the power. I think it's a really interesting way to turn all of that shit on its head, especially when we come from a society that has had so many historical rulers that have had like harems and where women have been so oppressed within those societies.
We literally come from a patriarchy.
Yeah. When we come from a patriarchy to see a matriarchal society where they may not be the best society.
Yeah.
But to see that it exists. It's like we just don't have many examples of that in our world.
Yeah, so that was just something
endlessly fascinating with them.
I agree. I do like you said. I enjoy them. I think they're very interesting. I like them a lot.
I do hear
stories of them. I wanted to state that out there almost for the fandom to make sure they understand that. It's like, cool and a fun concept and like everything in the matriarchal society, and I would love to see that possibly come into light someday. It's also not a good representation of
feminism.
Well, you
want to see this specifically?
No. That's not what I was saying. Oh my God, is not what I was saying.
I misunderstood that. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying matriarchy in general, just because of coming from such a patriarchy.
Yeah. And
but it is not just see a good such representation of feminism.
Such a like a matriarchal society that is not ruled by emotion.
No.
And all the things that women are accused of being, they are the opposite of. And I think that is thoroughly fascinating.
Yeah.
I definitely would not consider them feminist at all.
Absolutely. But that's okay.
For our listeners who are a little confused about feminism, feminism legitimately means we just treat each other like people.
Yeah, it's the equality of the sexes. So
the
not one
the,
ruling the over
way
the other.
They treat the absolutely Knight not. Brothers is abhorrent.
Yeah.
They really that's do not I, treat I the Knight like, Brothers ah. well. The Knight Brothers are very much a second class citizen to them.
Oof.
And
that sucks.
Yeah, it's very like I definitely want to go more in depth on the Knight Brothers in a future episode because I find it endlessly fascinating. It took me so long to understand that all Knight Brothers are Zabraks, but not all Zabraks are Knight Brothers.
That makes sense.
It took me so long to wrap my head around that because I was like, well, Maul is a Zabrak and he's also a Knight Brother. So then why aren't all of them like that?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. No, that's really cool though. I appreciate that story. Yeah. I like a lot.
I love these guys.
I like a lot. Anyway, that was fun. I'm curious to know how many there are though. It doesn't ever
there
say.
There are no. I didn't come across like a definite answer to how many.
Okay.
Night sisters curious. Exist. I also didn't look that hard for a number.
That's
so
okay.
That is also a reason.
There might not be one. They might just. No,
well, I mean, at this point, like if we're.
The fact that she raised zombies, though, to make an army shows me that once upon a time throughout history, there was a ton.
Significantly more.
Their
numbers seem to have, from what it looks like, at least from if you just look at the Clone Wars, their numbers at the point where all of this shit goes down with Grievous and Dooku, it appears that their numbers have dwindled. They do seem to send out their most force sensitive either seem to be sent out to a Sith or to the Jedi, because that's how Ventress ended up with the Jedi first, and then she became a Sith. And then we see other Night Sisters who kind of pop up every once in a while, like as a smuggler or like Cal Kestis actually interacts with a Night Sister post. The destruction, like the massacre of the Night Sisters.
Oh, wow.
So there are a few survivors of this that are out there, just not many. There aren't many left.
Got it.
At least within the timeline of the stories that they're telling right now. So I don't know, I don't know necessarily how they're going to keep telling the Night Sister story. I'm curious to see how they may pop up because I think they are one of the most fascinating things to me in Star Wars.
I would love to see them pop up in one of the live action series that's coming out. That would be really fun.
I would absolutely
at least,
adore
like,
that.
Even just like a couple episode arc, whatever it may be. That
and
would
just
be
like
really,
a
really
character
cool.
that just pops up awesome. That's a Night Sister that's just there. I would love to see that. I'm so fascinated by them. I love the idea that there are other cultures within this galaxy that are using the Force. But they're using it in a different way than the Jedi and the Sith do. And that they don't even consider, like, Mother Talzin does not consider what she's doing to be a part of the Force, to be the Force.
Interesting.
They consider it a completely separate entity.
I mean, art is subjective. So
absolutely. Like,
so is the Force, apparently.
Religion is subjective.
Absolutely. 100%.
Like, and I like that's very
people
clear with the Night Sisters.
I totally see that.
On that note, that is the end of our spooky series. It is Halloween when we are releasing this episode.
It is. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Yeah.
Yay. Happy holiday. Happy spirit day. Happy All Hallows Eve. Have a happy day.
Hoping you're all dressed up in your most comfortable sweatshirts like I do.
I hope that you are all dressed up. You can still dress up and be comfortable. I approve that with Five of the Mouse, and I approve that this year with Kim Possible.
What is wrong with my skeleton sweatshirt?
Nothing. I'm just saying. You can still dress up and be in costume. It still kind of glows in the dark.
It still kind of glows in the dark like it did when I bought it. Kind of. I don't know. I haven't checked in a year.
Anyway.
I've been a skeleton for the past 4 years.
I know you have. I'm proud of you. And I have how many costumes in my closet? Good Lord.
Too many.
Yeah, there's no such thing. How dare you? You want to be Velma Kelly from Chicago? I got the wig.
I already was Velma Kelly in Chicago.
Any? I'm just trying to give you options.
My resume, bitch.
Yeah. Well, we love you all. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you guys are having a fantastic Halloween and such a fantastic fall. Be safe.
And if anyone is giving you, like, giving out those weed candies, please let us know where we can get them.
Yeah, that would be great. Because
the news keeps reporting on that people are... To be wary of those weed candies.
Bitch, ain't nobody giving your children their drugs.
Nobody's giving your children their drugs.
But if
they are, can you please give me specific directions?
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
100%. To where they are.
100%.
On that note, guys, don't be dicks to people.
Wear your mask. Get vaccinated. Yeah,
do all the shit you're supposed to do.
Rewind. Wash your hands. Wash your fucking hands.
Gross motherfuckers.
The fact that we have to say this after a pandemic, were we not doing that before? The fact that we have to say this
on a Star Wars podcast.
Jesus. Like, what?
We were disgusting before.
Guys, just don't be gross. Come on.
And have a super fun, great week.
Have a super fun, great week.
We are so happy to be back.
Watch Hocus Pocus. Watch Casper.
Ooh, watch the new It movie, particularly It Part 1. It is one of my favorite scary movies right now.
Hard pass. But if you're into that, yes.
Yeah, it is they nailed the scary part of the scary
movie. I just realized I haven't watched any of the Scream movies yet this season.
And
the new movie is coming out this year. I am failing.
You're failing.
It's also because I told... What's his fucker? I'm just kidding. It's also because... Yeah, well, if you are also going to the Halloween parade, please wear your mask.
Yeah.
I don't want to go and be fearful for my friend's daughter who is 3.5 years old.
Yeah. Wear your mask. Who is adorable
and lovely, and we love her so much.
Yes.
So wear your mask. That'd be great.
Because
we would like to take her and be safe.
Here's the thing, guys. We love you all. We love her a little bit more than you.
Mm-hmm.
And by a little bit, I mean a lot more than you.
A lot more than you. So sorry.
So protect our friend's 3-year-old. And be safe. At you all guys costs. Have a great week. We are going to sign off now because that was the longest sign off ever.
It really was. I have to go home. I have to go to bed. Love you. Bye.